Our dear Heavenly Father,
nuestro Padre Celestial,
once again, we just simply want to take a moment to kneel before Thee to say thank You for being our God.
Amen.
Una vez más, Padre, nos arrodillamos ante Ti con el simple motivo de decirte que te necesitamos.
We thank You for the meetings that have been transpiring in this place for the last couple of nights.
Le damos gracias por las pláticas que se han realizado en estas últimas noches.
But we recognize that there is still more truth for us to understand this evening.
Pero sabemos que hay más verdades para entender en esta noche.
And dear God of heaven, because there are decisions that must be made tonight,
Señor, porque sabemos que hay decisiones que se tienen que hacer en esta noche.
It is my very special and specific prayer that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit tonight.
Es mi oración y mi petición de que por favor mandes a tu Espíritu Santo en esta noche.
There are people in the congregation this evening who have never heard this subject before.
Hay gente aquí en la congregación de quien nunca han escuchado estos temas.
And as we prepare to reveal the mark of the beast and the seal of God,
y mientras nos preparamos ahora para escuchar uno referente a la marca de Dios y al sello de Dios y a la marca de la bestia,
I ask and pray for the presence of holy angels to be here to beat back the forces of darkness.
Oro para que tus ángeles poderosos estén aquí para echar fuera los demonios de Satanás.
Open all of our minds to understand Scripture tonight very clearly.
Abre nuestras mentes para poder entender claramente tu palabra.
And I pray, Father in heaven, that You would open our hearts to receive and believe in truth.
Y pido que abra nuestros corazones para que recibamos y aceptemos tu verdad.
Forgive us of our sins.
Perdona nuestros pecados.
And please speak to our hearts tonight is my prayer.
Y habla nuestro corazón, es mi oración.
In Jesus' name we pray.
En el nombre de Jesucristo.
Amen.
Amen.
Once again, brothers and sisters, good evening.
Good evening.
Buenas noches, nuevamente.
Tonight, we are going to be studying one of the most serious topics in Scripture.
En esta noche vamos a tocar un tema que es uno de los más serios en la Escritura.
One that some may be already familiar with here tonight.
Un tema que quizás algunos ya están familiarizados en este lugar.
But others here this evening are not familiar with this.
Pero algunos de aquí en esta noche no lo conocen.
And so tonight I'm going to ask us to turn together in our Bibles to the last book, Revelation, chapter 14.
Y les voy a pedir que abran sus Biblias en el libro de Apocalipsis, capítulo 13.
14.
14.
In Revelation 14, we have the final warning message to the world called the Three Angels' Message.
En el capítulo 14 tenemos el mensaje de los tres ángeles para el último tiempo de la tierra.
And in verses 6 through 12, Revelation 14, verses 6 through 12, we have this warning message going to the world.
Y en Apocalipsis 14, del 6 al 12, tenemos este mensaje que tiene que ir a toda la tierra.
I'm going to be reading this in English. I ask that you would please follow along with me if you're reading in your Spanish Bible.
Y les voy a pedir que me lean conmigo. Cuando empezamos en el versículo, los que estén leyendo también en español.
The Bible says, beginning with verse 6, and when we have it, please let me know by just saying amen.
Amen.
Y la Biblia en el versículo 6 dice,
Revelation 14, verse 6 says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. In the Greek, the word angels, angelos, or a messenger. This is a heavenly message brought to the world.
Este es un mensaje celestial que se trae a la tierra.
And it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Tomorrow night we're going to begin discussing the judgment hour.
Mañana vamos a estar hablando de la hora del juicio.
And this evening we're going to be discussing the true worship of the Creator God.
Y esta noche vamos a hablar de la verdadera adoración.
There is true worship. There is true worship. And there is false worship.
Hay una verdadera adoración y hay una falsa adoración.
And what we're going to find out this evening is that the conflict has always been about worship.
Y vamos a encontrar en la Biblia que siempre ha sido la adoración falsa o la verdadera.
Matter of fact, hold your finger there and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14.
Y de hecho vamos a Isaías 14.
Isaiah chapter 14 tells us about the great conflict that took place in heaven.
Isaías nos dice el conflicto que comenzó en el cielo.
And in Revelation 14, beginning with verse 12, Isaiah 14, verse 12, thank you so much. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, the Bible says this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said, where? In thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In the beginning here in this great conflict, Satan desired to have the worship that only belongs to God.
En el principio vemos que Satanás ha querido siempre tener la adoración que se le tiene que dar a Dios únicamente.
And in the end of time, Satan still desires to have the worship that only belongs to the true living Creator God.
Y al final también vemos que Satanás quiere la adoración que se le da a Dios únicamente.
And this evening we're going to find out that there is a specific way in which to worship God.
Y vamos a encontrar que hay una forma específica que se tiene que adorar a Dios.
Matter of fact, let's turn back to Revelation chapter 14. Let's go quickly, friends. Revelation 14, back to verse 7.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 14, versículo 7.
Revelation 14, verse 7, it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And then it says, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. This is referring to the creation.
Esto se refiere a lo que leímos a la creación.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on tonight.
Y vamos a hablar de eso un poco más tarde.
But in verses 8 down, it warns us against false worship.
Y del versículo de 8 en adelante nos habla de la adoración falsa.
The Bible says, and there followed another angel, verse 8.
El 8.
Saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the what? They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Los mandamientos de Dios y la fe de Jesús.
And so the Bible is telling us that there are two classes of people. There are those that worship God according to his commandments, and those that worship the beast and his image and receive his mark.
La Biblia nos dice que hay dos tipos de personas, los que adoran a Dios y guardan sus mandamientos, y los que adoran a la bestia, su imagen, y reciben su marca.
Matter of fact, how important is it to keep the commandments of God?
De hecho, ¿cuán importante es que guardemos los mandamientos?
How important do you think it is to keep the commandments, the law of God, the commandments of God?
¿Cuántos creen que es importante guardar los mandamientos?
How important are the Ten Commandments? Matter of fact, just look at what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 22.
Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Notice what the Bible says.
El versículo 14, vean lo que dice.
Are we all there, friends, together? Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, blessed are they that talk about his commandments, that they may have, what's that now?
¿Qué dice? Bienaventurados que hablan.
Did everyone catch what I said? You know, don't always believe your preacher, amen?
No siempre crea tu predicador.
Blessed are they that do what? They that do his commandments,
bienaventurados los que guardan,
that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So the keeping of the commandments of God is so important that your eternal life depends upon it, it says right here.
El guardar los mandamientos de Dios de acuerdo a la escritura, de ahí depende tu vida eterna.
Now there are many Christians today who just talk about the Ten Commandments, but they don't do them.
Hay muchos hoy en día cristianos que hablan de los mandamientos, pero no los guardan.
What does the Bible say about those that just simply talk about it but don't do it? Notice what the Bible says.
¿Qué dice la Biblia sobre aquellos que hablan pero no los mantienen?
In 1 John chapter 2.
En Primera de Juan capítulo 2.
1 John, what chapter are we turning to, friends?
¿Qué capítulo?
1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look now beginning with verse 3.
Versículo 3.
1 John chapter 2.
Primera de Juan, capítulo 2, versículo 3.
The Bible says this, and I'll wait a moment. 1 John, for those of you who are trying to find that, 1 John is going toward the book of Revelation. Not the Gospel of John, but the little book of John. 1 John. Please explain that for those trying to find it.
Está unas páginas antes del libro de Apocalipsis nada más. No es Juan el Evangelio, sino las epístolas o las cartas de Juan.
1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. When you have it, please let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
The Bible says this, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we do what?
Keep
his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a what? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now it's really interesting.
Es muy interesante lo que dice.
If I stood here and called somebody a liar, somebody would get mad at me and say that I was being judgmental.
Si yo le dijera aquí a alguien que es un mentiroso, sentiría que lo estoy juzgando.
And yet the word of God declares that those who simply talk about knowing God but do not obey his commandments, they are liars.
Y la Biblia dice que aquellos que dicen que conocen a Dios pero no guardan sus mandamientos, de que son mentirosos.
But the Bible continues on by saying in verse 5, but whosoever, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know, we know that we are in him. Amen. Amen. Now what do, now go back to Revelation chapter 14, please.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 14 nuevamente.
Because the Bible tells us that there is a system called Babylon that is causing the world to be drunk with her wine.
Porque la Biblia nos habla de un sistema que se llama Babilonia, que ha hecho beber a las naciones del vino de su fornicación.
Notice in Revelation 14 verse 8 once again.
El capítulo 14, versículo 8.
The Bible says, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the what?
Wine.
Drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
Beber del vino de su fornicación.
What does this wine cause people to do?
¿Qué es lo que causa este vino en la gente?
Notice what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31.
Vamos al libro de Proverbios, capítulo 31.
What does wine do to somebody's mind?
¿Qué es lo que el vino hace a la mente de la gente?
If you've ever seen somebody that is under the influence of alcohol,
si es que has visto alguna vez algún borracho,
they become confused.
Están confundidos.
They have a different personality oftentimes.
Tienen otra personalidad.
Wine messes up your mind. It confuses your judgment.
El vino entorpece tus sentidos.
But it does something else.
Pero también hace algo más.
Proverbs chapter 31, notice what the Bible says in verse 4.
Proverbios 31, versículo 4.
The Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink, verse 5, and forget the what? Are you all with me, friends? Proverbs 31, verses 4 and 5. Are we all there? Amen? Maybe we weren't all there together, so let me read that one more time. Proverbs 31, verse 4. It says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to do what?
Drink wine.
Nor for princes to do what?
Drink.
Now, I want to pause right there, because there's a whole sermon just in that verse. Because many Christians believe that they can actually drink alcohol. So let me just take a moment just to stop preaching and start meddling just a little bit. There are some Christians that actually believe that Jesus allows you and I to drink alcohol.
Hay muchos cristianos que creen que Cristo nos da el permiso de beber alcohol.
Matter of fact, some churches even serve actual alcohol in communion.
De hecho, hay muchas iglesias que sirven vino para la comunión.
And it seems as though Christians have forgotten that fermentation is a result of sin.
Amen. Y los cristianos se olvidan que la fermentación representa el pecado.
All that alcohol really is the death of something that God made once pure.
La fermentación simboliza, o en realidad es, la muerte de algo que Dios hizo puro.
When I was in state prison,
cuando yo estaba en la prisión,
we used to know how to make alcohol in our cell.
Aprendimos a cómo hacer alcohol en nuestra celda.
You know how you make it?
¿Saben cómo lo hacen?
You simply let fruit rot.
Yep. Dejan que la fruta se pudra.
And then you drink the rotten fruit.
Y se bebe el jugo de la fruta.
And that's all that alcohol is. It's the death of something that God made once good.
Es simplemente la muerte de algo que Dios hizo bueno y puro.
And death is something that came in as a result of sin.
Y la muerte es el resultado de la entrada del pecado.
And to try to say that Jesus served alcohol, something fermented, to represent his life, is saying that Jesus is full of sin.
Y el hacer que los cristianos beban vino o que Cristo lo patrocina, es decir, que Cristo por su sangre estaba diciendo que es está bien tomarlo fermentado.
I've even heard Christians say that Jesus actually served alcohol at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee.
Y he escuchado, de hecho, que muchos cristianos dicen que Cristo sirvió vino en las bodas de Caná.
They say that Jesus took some big pots of water and turned those big pots into alcohol. That's what people believe.
La gente piensa que cuando Cristo hizo ese milagro, que convirtió ese vino, esa agua en vino.
Now I want you to really understand what people are saying when they say that.
Quiero que sepan lo que realmente la gente quiere.
What they're really saying, if they really believe that Jesus turned that stuff into alcohol, here's what they're saying.
Lo que realmente dicen ellos es esto.
They're saying that Jesus began his ministry by being a bartender.
Yep.
And serving up booze.
Que Cristo empezó su ministerio siendo un bartender, un atendedor.
That was the best keg party ever that Jesus threw. That's what people are saying.
Que es la mejor fiesta que Cristo haya podido haber hecho.
And what's horrible about this, friends, listen.
Y lo que es peor,
is that if this is true, that means that Jesus cannot expect any alcoholic to get victory. Because he serves up alcohol for free.
Significa que Cristo entonces está diciendo que ningún alcohólico va a agarrar la victoria sobre el pecado porque él mismo lo está promoviendo.
I come from a family of alcoholics.
Yo vengo de una familia de borrachos.
And because of my family's experience and my own experience, I believe something very clearly, friends. And that's this.
Por el hecho de mi familia y mi propia experiencia, yo creo esto.
When somebody drinks alcohol,
cuando alguien toma alcohol,
they become demon possessed.
Amen.
Se posesionan los demonios de él.
Do you hear what I just said?
Amen.
Demon possessed.
Amen.
Not influenced by demons. They are under the control of a demon for a time.
Amen.
Están bajo la posesión demoníaca por un tiempo.
You take some clean cut young college boy.
Toma, agarra un muchacho joven,
straight A student.
De pura,
and you give him alcohol.
Y dale alcohol.
And they become a fighting boy. You used to call it drinking a can of man. That's what you used to call it back then. That guy, he just drank a can of man. Does that make sense? In other words, oh, he's so quiet, he's so nice, and he drinks alcohol, and he becomes a man. He starts wanting to fight. He just drank a can full of man because he became demon-possessed.
Cuando los muchachos toman alcohol, a pesar de que sean tranquilos, en realidad, Se ve el cambio de temperamento y de vida cuando lo hace.
Christians should be practicers of temperance, friends. Now let's move on.
Los cristianos deben ser temperantes.
And by the way, even if you believe that people can drink alcohol, even if you believe that, the Bible says right here it is not for kings to drink wine.
La Biblia dice que no es de reyes el beber vino.
Do you hear what that just said?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not for kings to drink wine. No matter, just hold your finger there. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Maybe somebody needs to hear this tonight. Hold your finger there and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Are you a king?
Vamos a Apocalipsis 1. ¿Ustedes son un rey o reina?
Are you a king?
¿Eres un rey?
Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 1.
Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. When you get there, please let me know by saying amen.
Versículo 5 y 6.
Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. The Bible says this. Many men are spending so much money on alcohol when they need to be feeding their family. Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. Staying out all night. And by the way, sometimes men do that because the wives are so cantankerous and hard to get along with that they kick their husbands out the house. Amen. And some families need to make sure that they get their acts together. Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. The Bible says this. Are we all there? Amen. And it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us what? He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so the Bible says that if you are under the blood of Christ, you and I are kings.
Si tú y yo estamos bajo la sangre de Cristo, él nos llama reyes y reinas.
And if you're a king,
y si tú eres un rey,
the Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 4, that you should not be drinking wine.
Amen.
Como ya leímos en Proverbios, dice que no tenemos que beber vino.
Now let's go back there quickly, friends. Because on a spiritual note, a spiritual aspect of this,
ahora hablando del lado espiritual, el vino,
this great system called Babylon is making people drunk with her wine.
Este sistema de Babilonia está haciendo que la gente se
borre. And this is false worship.
Su falsa adoración.
And it's doing something. It's right back here in verse 4 and 5. Let's go back there. Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 5.
A Proverbios 31, versículos 5 y 6, para ver qué
hace
Babilonia.
4 and 5.
4 y 5.
It says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the what?
Law.
They forget the law.
Se olviden que los mandamientos.
So Babylon the Great,
Babilonia la Grande,
by her false doctrine, her false wine,
por su falsa enseñanza, su falso vino,
is causing the world to forget the law of God.
Está causando que el mundo se olvide de la ley de Dios.
So false worship is forgetting God's law.
La adoración falsa es olvidarse de los mandamientos.
And true worship is to remember God's law.
Amen.
Y la verdadera adoración es acordarse de los mandamientos.
To keep
de Dios,
his commandments.
De mantener y guardar los mandamientos.
Now tonight, friends,
en esta noche,
we're going to learn that there are only two worldwide churches today.
En esta noche vamos a darnos cuenta que hay solamente dos. Y solamente dos iglesias en el mundo.
And that God has always had a special people that have kept his law.
Y Dios siempre ha tenido un pueblo
always.
Que ha guardado sus leyes, sus mandamientos.
Satan has had a church.
Satanás ha tenido su iglesia.
And God has always had a church.
Dios siempre también la ha tenido.
And this church goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
Y esta iglesia va desde el principio, desde el Edén.
Two classes of worshipers.
Dos clases de adoradores.
Those that obey God's commandments.
Los que obedecen los mandamientos.
And those that reject God's commandments and persecute their brother, like Cain and Abel.
Aquellos que rechazan y persiguen a sus hermanos que guardan los mandamientos.
I want to read something here from a book called The Upward Look, page 315.
Voy a leer esta cita. En la página 315 de Alza Tus Ojos.
It says, God has a church. It is not the great cathedral, neither is it the national establishment, neither is it the various denominations. It is the people who love God and keep his commandments. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where Christ is, Even among the humble few, this is Christ's church. For the presence of the high and holy one who inhabited eternity can alone constitute a church. The people who love God and keep his commandments have always been his faithful people.
La gente que ama a Dios y guarda sus mandamientos, ese es el pueblo de Dios.
I want to read something else from a book called Acts of the Apostles. That's a beautiful quotation.
Voy a leer una cita del libro Hechos de los Apóstoles.
It says, "From the beginning, faithful souls have constituted the church on earth." I don't know if you want to translate that while I go on, or should I just continue?
No, just
in every age, the Lord has had his watchmen who have borne a faithful testimony to the generation in which they lived. These sentinels gave the message of warning, and when they were called to lay off their armor, others took up the work. God brought these witnesses into covenant relation with himself, uniting the church on earth with the church in heaven. He has sent forth his angels to minister to his church, and the gates of hell have not been able to prevail against his people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The quotation continues on, friends, for two more slides. It says this about God's church. Through centuries of persecution, conflict, and darkness, God has sustained his church.
Amen.
Not one cloud has fallen upon it that he has not prepared for. Not one opposing force has risen to counterwork his work that he has not foreseen. All has taken place as he predicted. He has not left his church forsaken, but has traced in prophetic declarations what would occur, and that which his Spirit inspired the prophets to foretell has been brought about. All his purposes will be fulfilled. His law is linked with his throne, and no power of evil can destroy it.
Amen.
Continuing on as this quotation prepares to close, the truth is inspired and guarded by God, and it will triumph over all opposition.
Amen.
During ages of spiritual darkness, the church of God has been as a city set on a hill. From age to age, through successive generations, the pure doctrines of heaven have been unfolding within its borders. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church is the one object upon which God bestows in a special sense his supreme regard. It is the theater of his grace in which he delights to reveal his power to transform hearts.
Amen.
Don't you want to be part of God's true church?
Amen.
The Acts of the Apostles, pages 11 and 12. What's that now, brother?
If you can summarize that. So I can...
If we want to summarize that, God has always had a faithful people from the beginning. God has always had truth. God has always had people that keep his commandments. Brother?
Dios siempre ha tenido un pueblo fiel que guarda sus mandamientos. Desde el principio.
And God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Y porque Dios es el mismo ayer, hoy, y por siempre.
God will always have faithful people.
Dios siempre va a tener gente fiel.
Tonight we're going to talk about the history of God's true church.
En esta noche vamos a hablar de la historia de la iglesia.
And the history of God's special sign of authority.
Y del sello de autoridad de Dios.
I'm going to ask us now, as we look at Revelation, to go to chapter 12.
Y vamos al capítulo 12 de Apocalipsis.
Now, because of time's sake, friends, and because there's so much to cover tonight,
por el hecho de que tenemos poco tiempo,
I'm going to just simply go through this quickly by using many of the slides that are already here.
Voy a usar muchas de las presentaciones o de las páginas que tenemos aquí para avanzar.
You can follow along in your Bible.
Tú puedes seguirlo en tu Biblia.
I'm going to read it from the screen, and I'll tell you what verses they are if you're reading in Spanish.
Voy a leerlo, voy a decir qué versículo es para que lo leas en español.
We're going to begin in chapter 12, verse 1, and we're going to find out that in prophecy, a woman represents a church.
Vamos a darnos cuenta que en la profecía, una mujer representa una iglesia.
A pure woman represents the pure church, the bride of Christ.
Una mujer pura representa la iglesia de Cristo.
And an impure church represents a false group of people or a false system of worship.
Y una mujer impura representa la iglesia falsa.
And in Revelation, there are two main women.
Y en el Apocalipsis hay dos mujeres principales.
There's a pure woman in Revelation 12.
Una mujer pura en Apocalipsis 12.
And there's an impure woman in Revelation 17 called Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots.
Y hay una mujer impura en Apocalipsis 17 que se llama Babilonia la Grande, la madre de las rameras.
The last two nights we talked about the false church.
Las últimas dos noches hablamos de la falsa iglesia.
And tonight we talk about God's true church.
Hoy vamos a hablar de la verdadera iglesia.
Revelation chapter 12 verse 1.
En versículo 1 de Apocalipsis 12.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. In scripture, a woman represents a church. Notice what the Bible says very quickly in the book of Ephesians chapter 5.
Vamos al libro de Efesios para ver lo de la mujer que representa la iglesia.
Ephesians chapter 5, and we're looking in verse 23.
Versículo 23.
Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 23, the Bible says this. Are we all there together, friends? Amen.
Efesios 5, versículo 23.
Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I want to pause for a minute there.
Quiero hacer una pausa ahí.
I wish that every couple that got married would read this chapter.
Desearía que cada persona que se casa o cada pareja leyera este.
Because 1/10 of marital problems would not exist if husbands and wives obeyed what the Bible says right here.
Porque un tercio de la gente que tiene problemas en su matrimonio no los tendría ahorita.
And you know what? Let me just get in trouble right now. That's okay.
Y me voy a meter en problemas quizás, pero está bien.
Let me tell you all something. Satan is trying his hardest to flip the roles of men and women upside down.
Satanás está trabajando duro para poder voltear los papeles.
And there are some women that are so cantankerous and that love to fight and that love to be assertive and that love to tell their husbands what to do that no man on earth can be happy with them. Amen.
Amen.
Y hay algunas mujeres que quieren tomar el papel de la mujer que dirige al esposo y le quiere decir todo.
You go back and read the book of Proverbs where it talks about that it's better for a man to go live in the wilderness than with an angry and contentious woman. It's no wonder they don't come home, sisters. And at the same time,
al mismo tiempo,
many men,
muchos hombres,
have a wrong conception of what it truly means to be a man.
Tiene una mala concepción de lo que es ser un hombre también.
And there is this concept that to be a man means to be this macho type of, this man that loves to sleep around with lots of women and drink alcohol and, you know, fight.
Tiene ese concepto de ser un macho que tiene que pegar a la mujer y beber y tener amigos.
And the best example for a man is found in the example of Christ.
Amen.
Y el mejor ejemplo es dado por Cristo.
Christ was not a wimp.
Cristo no era ningún cobarde.
He stood and told people right to their face exactly what was truth, without any compromise.
Le decía a la gente la verdad. Sin comprometer nada.
Matter of fact, I read in my Bible, there was a time when he came in and took tables and flipped them over and ran people out of a temple.
De hecho, yo he leído en mi Biblia que él llegó al templo y tiró las mesas de todos los compradores.
But at the same time, while he was stern with those that were living, or excuse me, stern with those that were hypocritical living in sin.
Mientras él era duro con los que eran hipócritas y viviendo en el.
He was very gentle and tender when it came to women and children.
Era muy apacible, muy amable con las mujeres y los niños.
And friends, if you're going to get married, if you're married already and having problems, then you need to go ahead and read this chapter. I'm being very serious.
Yo le estoy diciendo algo muy serio, que quiero que lean esto.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, verse 24.
Versículo 24.
So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know what, friends? You know how much Jesus loved the church?
¿Saben cuánto amó Cristo a su iglesia?
This messed up church that doesn't like to submit to Christ.
Esta iglesia que a veces no se somete a Cristo.
He showed his love by sacrificing his life for the church. And as husbands show true love and affection for their wife, tenderness to their wives, support to their wives, the wife falls in love with the husband as Christ also had the church fall in love with him. And the Bible says in verse 26 that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Three times in this chapter it says, husbands, love your wives.
Tres veces nos dice a los esposos, amen a sus esposas.
And three times in this chapter it says, wives, submit to your husbands, respect your husbands.
Y tres veces le dice a la mujer, respeta y ama a tu marido.
And may I just say something very quickly before we move on?
Y les puedo decir algo antes de continuar?
Is that Jesus is not going to save any of us if our homes and families are messed up.
Que Cristo no va a salvar a nadie, ninguna familia, si nuestras familias están hechas un desastre.
Do you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Amen. ¿Han escuchado eso?
If our families are messed up, we're not going to heaven.
Si nuestra familia es un desastre, no vamos al cielo.
If we can't get along with our spouses and our children, we are unfit for the kingdom of God.
Si hay problemas con los esposos, hay problemas con los niños y no están listos para el reino de los cielos.
Our homes are practice for heaven.
Nuestros hogares es la práctica para el cielo.
Did you know that if you can be courteous in your home at all times, you can be courteous to anyone, anytime, anywhere.
¿Sabes que si eres cortés en tu casa con tus familiares, vas a hacerlo con toda la gente que tú te encuentres?
You want to know why?
¿Sabes por qué?
Because it's in the home where the rubber hits the road.
That's
right. Or it gets real in the home.
Porque es en la casa donde se empieza a hacer todo en sí.
And I say this and I praise the Lord for it, and God gets all the glory. But when I married my wife, we made a commitment to each other.
Cuando yo me casé con mi esposa, hicimos un compromiso entre los dos.
We refused to argue.
Dijimos que no íbamos a discutir.
And we made a commitment to God before we ever got married to each other.
Antes que nos casáramos, hicimos un pacto con Dios.
That we would remain converted by putting Christ as our priority before each other.
Dijimos que vamos a poner a Cristo como nuestra prioridad antes que entre nosotros.
And so as my wife and I seek the Lord on our knees every morning individually, Christ is able to be in our home.
Y cada mañana nosotros nos levantamos, tenemos nuestra comunión independiente con Dios, nuestra oración, y ponemos a Cristo como nuestra prioridad.
I got married later on in my life, had my first child at the age of 30.
Yo tuve mi primer hijo a la edad de 30.
And in just a few weeks, we'll be married for just 6 years.
Y en un par de semanas, estaré casado por ya 6 años.
We're about to have our fourth child.
Vamos a tener nuestro cuarto hijo.
And we've never had an argument.
Y nunca hemos tenido una discusión.
Why? What's the point?
¿Por qué? Por qué la razón?
And it's a blessing to have peace in your home.
Y es una bendición tener paz en la casa.
Don't you want to go back home and be happy?
¿No quieres ir a la casa y estar feliz?
I get attacked enough going and preaching to places like this. You know, I always get attacked by somebody. Somebody nags me or bugs me, doesn't like something I said, and criticizes me for something. I'm used to it, you know. You get used to it. Hey, if any preachers are watching this, get used to it, all right? Stop being a wimp. Get used to it, all right? You can't always please everybody. Please the Lord. Amen.
Siempre que yo voy y predico, tengo problemas con gente que no le gusta lo que yo digo. Así es de que predicadores, acostúmbrense.
But sometimes it's a struggle.
La verdad es una batalla.
And it's such a blessing to go back home from fighting the battles of the Lord out in the field and go back home and find peace and find love and find Christ. And find the presence of holy angels in our home. It's such a blessing, brothers and sisters.
Y es una gran bendición el ir de conferencias a mi casa a encontrar paz, a encontrar comunión con Dios, a sentirme realmente en la presencia de Dios.
In Scripture, a woman represents a church.
En la escritura, en la profecía, la mujer representa la iglesia.
Christ is purifying a people so that they might be prepared for heaven.
Cristo está purificando un pueblo para estar en el cielo.
In Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, the Bible talks about this church being attacked by Satan.
En Apocalipsis 12, versículo del 1 al 3, Habla de esta iglesia perseguida por Satanás.
The Bible says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, the great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and it cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We recognize the dragon, the first application is Satan.
Sabemos que la primera aplicación para Satanás es el dragón.
However, Satan works through kings and rulers of the world.
Pero sabemos que él trabaja a través de los reyes e imperios de la tierra.
And this battle between the woman and the serpent goes all the way back, friends, to the Garden of Eden.
Y esa batalla entre la mujer y el dragón va hasta el principio en el Edén.
In the very beginning, friends, there was this conflict between the woman and her seed and Satan and the serpent and his seed.
Al principio era la mujer y su simiente y la serpiente y su simiente.
And in the very beginning, friends, the serpent questioned the word and authority of God.
Y en el principio la serpiente cuestionó la autoridad de la palabra.
In the very end of time, it's the same battle between the serpent and the woman, Satan and the church.
Y al final del tiempo es la misma batalla entre Satanás y la iglesia.
And it's the same controversy over the authority of the word of God.
Y es sobre la autoridad de la palabra de Dios, la misma controversia.
Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, but there was a promise that Christ would come.
Ellos fueron sacados del Edén, pero se les dio la promesa que Cristo vendría.
And when Christ was born, Satan moved upon the kingdom of Rome to try to destroy him as a baby.
Y cuando nació Cristo, Satanás agarró al imperio romano para destruir a...
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 2, that she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And this was Christ, the Lamb of God, that would take away the sin of the world.
Cristo iba a ser la oveja que iba a venir al mundo, o el cordero que iba a venir a quitar los pecados del mundo.
This great red dragon came to attack Christ using the kingdom of Rome. The Bible says this in Revelation 12, verse 4.
Apocalipsis 12, versículo 4.
And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We recognize that this was Satan working through this pagan power.
Sabemos que era Satanás trabajando a través de ese poder pagano.
Pagan Rome was used to try to destroy Christ using King Herod.
Roma pagana fue utilizada por Satanás para destruir a Cristo a través de Herodes.
But the Bible says that when that took place in verse 4, it says she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended safely to heaven.
Cristo fue crucificado, ascendió, y ahora está en el cielo.
And because of this issue, friends, because Christ was victorious,
y porque Cristo ha sido victorioso,
Satan was furious with the church.
Satanás enojó tanto con la iglesia.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. Go there quickly, friends. We have a lot still. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12.
10 al 12.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Because Satan was defeated by Christ, he turned his attention on the church.
Porque Satanás fue derrotado por Cristo, se enfocó en él, después en la iglesia.
The Bible says it in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 12.
12, versículo 13.
That when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the who? He persecuted the church which brought forth the man child.
A la iglesia que trajo a Cristo, al niño.
Satan persecutes the church.
Satanás persigue a la iglesia.
And throughout history, the church had to flee into the wilderness.
Y a través de la historia, la iglesia ha tenido que huir al desierto.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 6.
12, versículo 6.
And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. Now pause. Who was here last night?
¿Quién estuvo aquí anoche?
We just went over the time prophecy of the 1,260 days.
Hablamos de la profecía de los 1260 días.
What power was ruling for 1260 days or years?
¿Qué poder estuvo rigiendo el mundo por 1260 años?
Which power?
¿Qué poder?
The papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, is ruling for that time.
El papado.
So what this is saying,
lo que dice,
is that while the Roman Church was ruling the world,
que mientras la iglesia romana dirigía el mundo,
the true church was hiding in the wilderness.
La verdadera iglesia estaba escondida en el desierto.
And at the end of this prophecy, this time prophecy, the true church would come out of hiding.
Que después de ese tiempo de los 1200 años, la iglesia verdadera iba a salir nuevamente.
Let's notice this as we continue on. We already looked at this history of pagan Rome persecuting Christians.
Ya vimos esta historia de los mártires perseguidos.
And then with Constantine, church and state began the process of uniting.
Y en Constantino, en el tiempo de la iglesia y el estado se unieron.
Church and state uniting like the feet of iron and clay in Rome, or the papacy.
Como los pies de la estatua, la unión del barro y el hierro, el papado fue lo que salió.
We found out that this church would rule.